How many of you recognize that character up there? Who is it? Frodo Baggins. He is from the book and movie The Lord of the Rings, which is a personal favorite. And he's up there because he is very like a character we're going to be examining here today. And whereas he was a very reluctant hero in the story that he's in, and he was chosen to be an unlikely hero for all of mankind. So the person we are going to be studying is Gideon, and he is in Judges 6, if you'd like to turn there. Gideon was also an unlikely individual that was called for something very great. And he was also reluctant. Gideon, just a little backstory. The Israelites had been disobedient to God again. And and so God had given them over to the enemy of the Midianites. The Midianites were very oppressive. For 7 years, they were taking over their land, forcing them to live in hiding and destroying all their crops, and they finally just cried out to God for help. And God came. And one day Gideon was sitting under a tree threshing wheat, and an angel came to him. And the angel, let's see here. The angel comes, and the first thing he says is, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior," which when you're not expecting an angel in your day, first of all, and the first thing the angel says to you is, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior," it's makes you wonder what he's about to ask you next. Gideon replies with an answer that is pretty human, I think. He says, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." So you can tell by his response what his attitude is a little bit. And it's one of maybe a little bit of frustration with the Lord that he waited this long to come, and that I think Gideon's a little confused at this point. And so the Lord turned to him and said, "In the strength you have, save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" And Gideon replies, you can even see in this picture, I kind of like it, the kind of "who me" look. He says, "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." Now, he is reluctant, first of all, because he's saying, "You got the wrong guy. I'm not the right one for the job. First of all, my whole tribe is not even the strongest. It doesn't make sense that you'd come to me. And also, I'm the weakest in my family. I'm not powerful. I'm not strong or the leader type that you need. And on top of that, where were you anyways when we needed you? So why are you coming now?" And so Gideon he's not ready for this. He's not ready for this role. So Gideon puts the Lord to a little bit of a test, and he says, "If you're really calling me, this is really you, then let me go and prepare an offering, and if you bless the offering, then I'll believe you. I'll believe that you are God talking to me." And says, and I really like this, is the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." God didn't just get frustrated with him and say, "You know what, this is ridiculous. I told you, just go and do it because I said so." So Gideon, he runs off, he prepares a sacrifice, and he brings it to the angel. And that's what the angel is doing right here. He touches the sacrifice and it goes up into flames. And so Gideon finally believes and he says, where does he say that? Oh, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And God says to him, peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die. And I think he knew what was probably going on Gideon's head. He's saying, I'm supposed to save our people from a giant force that is more powerful than us. I am definitely going to die. I don't know what you're talking about. And so the next thing the Lord does is he puts Gideon to a little bit of a test to prove his obedience. He tells Gideon to go out and destroy his father's idol to Baal and put up a proper idol for the Lord, or a proper altar for the Lord. And Gideon goes out, he takes some of his servants, he goes at night because he, and this also shows some of his hesitance, some of his fear, because he goes at night because he's afraid of the retribution of his family and the people in the town. This is not a light thing he's doing. He's tearing down an altar, which is a big deal. And so the next morning, the people come out and they see the altar's destroyed and they are very disgruntled. They are not happy about it. And so they say, who did this? And somebody tells them it's Gideon and they say, bring him out, we want to kill him. And which is pretty drastic. And his father defends him. He says, what are you guys talking about? Are you really trying to defend Baal? Baal can defend himself if he's real. So Gideon is taken care of by God. God protects him. And this is sort of the first test of obedience that he has. Now, the next step is he starts gathering people. He gathers as many of the tribes as he can, and he gets them all together, and he has a pretty formidable force. He has about 32,000 people, which is a lot, and I think he was a little bit more hopeful now, thinking, wow, this could probably work. But God says to Gideon, oh, and they come, they camp out by the Midian, where the Midianites are, and they're ready to attack soon, and they're all waiting, and God says to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands, in order that Israel may not boast against me that their own strength has saved her. Announce to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. I can only imagine just this sinking feeling in Gideon's heart as he sees all these men leave. He had a pretty good force behind him, and then God just took away more than half of it. And so he's thinking, well, at least I got 10,000, or 22,000 men at least. 10,000. But the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them for you. There, if I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go with you. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink. 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouths. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. So Gideon now has 300 men. This is kind of a picture right here of what they were doing. There were the men that were down like this, drinking like a dog, and then the ones lapping up water with their hands to drink it. And so that's an even bigger mass leaves, and he's left with 300 men against this huge force. For a kind of a picture of how many men that was, this is the Moda Center. I don't know if any of you have been there. That's where the Portland Trailblazers play. And It holds almost 20,000 people. So all of this was just a fraction of what Gideon originally had. After the Lord separated them, he maybe had this little section here. So if you can imagine what that might have felt like to lose your whole army and completely trust in God. But this is what God was trying to do. He wanted people, he wanted Gideon and the Israelites to trust in him completely and not rely on their own force. And Gideon complies. He cuts down the men. So it's getting ready for the time for Gideon to prepare to attack. And I think the Lord knew that Gideon, he needed some more encouragement. He had just lost a lot of men. He was probably nervous about this whole ordeal. So God tells him in the middle of the night, get up and go down to the camp because I am going to give it to into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant, Purah, and listen to what they are saying. Afterwards, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he goes down and he listens to the men talking. And one of them talks about a dream he had where this big loaf of bread comes rolling down a hill and crushes their tent. And the other soldier says, it's a sign. The God is with the Israelites and they're going to take this camp. And so he hears that and he's encouraged because he hears that he actually has a chance here. So Gideon comes and he rallies the men and he divides them into three companies and he says, watch me, he told them. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. And also, he's got his priorities right. He says, for the Lord and for Gideon, so the Lord comes first. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp, and beginning of middle watch, just after they had changed the guard, they blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. Three companies blew the trumpets and smashed their jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding their right hands, the trumpets were to blow. They shouted, a sword for Gideon, or a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Shittah towards Zerirah, as far as the border of Abel Meholah, which, so basically what happens is, this is very clever, he takes his 300 men, and in the middle of the night when nobody's suspecting, they come down making all this racket and screaming, and I could only imagine how terrifying that would be. You're sleeping, and then all of a sudden, all around you, there are these torches and screaming and people with swords, and they were so afraid they ended up attacking each other. And so they're able to rout the enemy and they have victory. This is a victory for Gideon. And it's quite amazing that 300 men were able to rout his huge force. It says their camels were, they couldn't be counted, basically. There were so many men. And so you also see a transformation in Gideon when you see this man who's timid, who's afraid to attack, who's constantly doubting, asking for test after test after test for God to prove to him that this is actually going to happen. And now you see this leader with all this confidence who formulates this plan and he is able to lead his men into battle. And that just shows you the transforming power that God can have in their lives, in people's lives when he calls them. And so that is really the biggest part that I like about the story of Gideon is that God called someone who did not seem like a likely candidate, someone who seemed ill-equipped for the job, and he transformed them into somebody that was mighty and strong. And he did it in such a way that the credit did not go to Gideon or the army, it all went to God. So it's clear in this story that the victory belongs to God. Now, what we can see from this is it's not easy when God calls us sometimes. And he often calls people for a job that seems too daunting to overcome, too out of place for us. I know that personally, this year, I recently switched my college major to pastoral ministries. And when I first felt called to that, it was very scary for me. I didn't think that that was my place. I was thinking, God, I think you got the wrong person. Is this really you? I felt a lot like Gideon, I think. And it was not by my own strength or my own eloquence or whatever it was that I had the confidence to switch this. It was God saying, I don't pick the wrong people. I know exactly what I'm doing, so just trust me. And I think that is, Gideon had eventually the right attitude, and it was obedience. Even if he was hesitant, he obeyed the Lord, and that is very important that we, and this is just such an encouragement. You see this throughout, all over the Bible, God calling people who are afraid and don't feel worthy of the job that they're being called to, and yet God follows through in a powerful and amazing way. Now, when we are called, sometimes we are called to things that may not make us very popular. Gideon was called to do something that did not make him very popular. In fact, they gave him a nickname. They called him Jerubbabel, which means let Baal contend with him. Basically, they said he's cursed. He destroyed Baal's altar. Baal's going to get him. So he didn't have a very good reputation with the own people in his town. So sometimes when we're called by God, we might not even be that popular among the crowd. We may have contention and opposition from people that are close to us and people around us in our community, and that can be hard. But yet the good news is, even throughout this fear and this doubt, you see, first of all, that the Lord is patient. He is patient with Gideon several times. Gideon is constantly testing God, constantly doubting him, and just saying, God, are you sure this is the right direction? Are you sure I'm going in the right direction? Because it doesn't feel like it. And so God is patient. He waits. He doesn't scold Gideon for his hesitance. I'm sure God understood. He understood what Gideon needed. So that's a comfort to me, that God is patient with us. When we are worried, when we don't think that we're really the right ones for the job, God comes through and he says, I will show you that you are, that I know what I'm doing, that it's going to be okay. He's faithful. God did exactly what he said he was going to do. He gave Gideon victory, and he did it in a way that it was completely apparent that it was from the Lord. It was done in a way where Gideon could clearly see that God means what he says. When God makes a promise, when God says anything, he is always going to follow through. And that is something that is another comfort for us. In fact, you see his faithfulness throughout all the history of Israel. It's lots and lots of books in the Old Testament start with, and the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so bad things happen to them, and they go through these consequences, and yet God every single time comes in and gives them a way out. He is faithful to them. He's patient with them and loving. And he comes through in a powerful and unique way. It is amazing to read all the stories in the Old Testament where God does creative things to bring glory to his name and to set his people up in a victorious way. And that is just mind-boggling to me. So I think that if I was going to leave us with any point, it is that when we are called, there will sometimes be doubt. There will often be doubt. There will often be fear and maybe some disbelieving that it's really God calling us. But the truth is that God is patient and he is faithful. So wait on the Lord. Trust that he has your best interest in mind and that he will always come through in an amazing and victorious way. So that's my word for you today. I think this has been an encouragement to me. I often do not feel worthy of God's work sometimes, that I am imperfect or not equipped to do the work that God maybe has set forth for me. But again, I get into the scripture and I'm reminded of how great God is with these things. So that would be my word to you. The worship team can come on up again if they like. And I'll just pray with you guys. Lord, I thank you for your presence here today. I thank you that you are personal in our lives, that you choose to bring us into your work, that you choose us to take part in your grand scheme, that you're able to use people like us to do amazing things. And I thank you that you are patient and loving with us. I pray that each person here today would be able to listen to your spirit and be able to hear you, and that you would help us to obey even when it seems that the thing you are calling us to is daunting. Again, Lord, I just thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, and we praise you for that. Amen.